Well, good morning. My name is Trevor Kaufman. If you came in late, I'm the campus pastor here, and it's great to be here with you this morning. And I love what Darren prayed just now is saying, you know, may we never take for granted the gift that Jesus is to us. And I think a lot of times we do just that. In fact, my men's group that I meet with on Wednesday mornings was getting together this week, and we kind of thought to ourselves, and we asked ourselves, why are we sometimes so underwhelmed with God? Like, it sounds terrible to say that, but at times we're just like, well, where's the big, massive miracles and all these grandiose things? And I think we take for granted what has been in front of us all along. And I think one of the things that we take for granted more than anything is our own bodies. I mean, you want to look at our body and you want to ask yourself, where is there a miracle? Just look at yourself. We are a living, active miracle each and every day that science has told us has evolved from some sort of nothingness. But in reality, there is clearly a creator, in my opinion, and factually based on the Bible, that has created the intricacies of our body. That I think when we actually take a look at it and step back and realize how incredible it is, maybe it can open our eyes to the awe and wonder of who God actually is. And so I want to give you a few facts that I found online. There's sort of funny ones and some interesting ones that about the human body, just to sort of maybe put this into perspective a little bit as we continue to jump in this morning. But the first is this. You may or may not know this, but your eye is actually your fastest muscle. Your eye is your fastest muscle. It can blink within 1/100th of a second. It takes between 1 and 150 milliseconds to blink, which is crazy, right? I mean, think about the speed in which that happens. And also, we blink more when we're talking and less when we're reading, which is maybe that's why we get so tired when we're reading. And it's sort of also why we get the phrase in the blink of an eye when something happens so quickly, right? So that's the first one. Interesting fact. Take that home with you. Your eye is your fastest muscle. Now you know that. This one is pretty interesting. My family just got home from a trip. We almost traveled 10,000 miles, but your body alone has over 100,000 miles of blood vessels. 100,000 miles of blood vessels within your body. Now that includes all arteries, veins, and the capillaries that communicate between both of those, which may seem like an incredibly unrealistic number, but when you put into context all of our skin and organs and every aspect of our body, it adds up quickly. We need a lot of plumbing to work. And so 100,000 miles, that's crazy to think about, right? This is an interesting one. Your skin, you may know this, your skin is your largest organ, actually. It counts for about 15% of our body weight on average, and it regulates our temperature. It helps us with touch and sensation. It keeps everything on the inside from coming out, and it's like the perfect pliability. It's very mobile. It doesn't constrict us, and it's not too loose. It's like the perfect thing, right? Our skin, it's incredible. This one I had to confirm with our local ear, nose, and throat doctor that's in the building right now, Mr. John Volkin, who was singing over here. When we breathe, we favor one nostril. Did you know that? I didn't know that. My son actually told me this a couple weeks ago because he found it on TikTok, and I'm like, you can't believe anything you see on that thing. So I'm like, there's no way that's true. And then I looked it up, and of course, sure enough, this one was right, so he got a point on that one. But it does. It helps regulate the moisture and the temperature of our respiratory system. And if he was explaining to me, Dr. John was explaining, he's like, if you breathe through both nostrils at the same time, you'll dry out. And so it was crazy. You can talk to him. He has all the scientific terms for it. But it's true. We favor one nostril at a time. We subconsciously, without even realizing it, take turns onto which nostril we use. I never knew that. I don't think you did either. Lastly, we erase and reform our memories. Oftentimes, we think back to a memory from our childhood, and we think it's like hitting play on a computer, and we're just sort of replaying a video that we captured. But in reality, when we remember something, our brain is actually rewriting it in that moment. And so over time, it's natural that as we rewrite and rewrite memories, they become a little skewed. And so childhood memories may not be as accurate as you think they are moving forward. So just a few interesting things. We also know that if we break a bone or get injured in one area, other parts of our body build up and help compensate for the lost function of that area. My daughter broke her arm a few years ago, and she was able to do things because kind of the rest of her body made up for it in a lot of different ways, especially with our senses, right? You may have seen or heard that when people are blind, they often hear better, or if they're deaf, they often see better or feel better. And there's truth to that. And a lot of times we think that it's just because we're relearning things and we're focusing our energy on other aspects, but it's actually been starting to be proven scientifically, and I found this article on scientificamerican.com, that your brain is actually being repurposed You're not just relearning, but your brain is being rewired and repurposed and focused on other areas. So the part of your brain that's no longer needed for sight is repurposed and refocused without you trying to do it on your own to the other aspects of your senses that are still there. So it's just crazy how incredible our body is that we take for granted. And so why am I opening up talking about our body? Well, maybe you can predict where I'm going with this, but we're going to talk about the body of Christ, known as the church itself. You and I make up this incredible body. Just as the body, the human body, has different parts and different limbs for different reasons and used for different purposes, they all make up one whole healthy body. We have all been given unique individual gifts from the Lord, and we are to use those gifts collectively together to make up one large body that works off of each other and sort of helps each other and compensates for one another and works together in a larger goal. And we're gonna kind of explore and unpack that today. And so the Apostle Paul tells us of this reality in 1 Corinthians 12. And so that's where we're gonna be this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm gonna read 12 through 14 as we start, where Paul explains what I've just said. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Paul is addressing that anybody who acknowledges Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior are filled with the Spirit, and they are intended to be a part of this body. There's no requirement in order to be a part of this body other than acknowledging Jesus as Savior. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, even so that the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so in the verses prior to this, Paul is actually explaining to this Corinthian Christians the variety and versatility in the body, because what they were doing is they were starting to elevate and give higher honor to specific gifts from God. They were elevating speaking in tongues and prophecy and all of these ones that are sort of flamboyant and outspoken, and they were diminishing other ones. And Paul's like, wait, it's not about that specifically, and we're not going to get into the theology of all of those today. But Paul is reminding them that all of them are designed to work together as one whole. That's the way it's intended to be. You and I as a church have been given unique individual gifts, and if we hold them to ourselves, we're missing out on a greater opportunity. And Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church and you and I today to use the gifts that you've been given together collectively as a whole. And so then he states this, and he sort of addresses this as well in verses 4 and 6 as we kind of back up a bit. He says just what I said. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. One Spirit, one God, wanting to work through each and every one of us individually, but collectively as a whole. And I think that in and of itself is an incredible way to look at the body of Christ, the church that you and I are a part of here. And when we talk about that here at Revive, we want you to get the most out of what we offer here. And it's not about what we offer, it's about how we are partnering with the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. But we want you to experience this the best that you can. Our mission is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit, like I mentioned at the beginning. And it's my hope and my desire and my prayer that you are all excited and intentional about that. And one of the most effective ways to do this is by being an active part of the body, an active part. And so you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I come to church once, maybe twice a month. I give a little bit, so I'm pretty much good. I'm a part of the body. But in reality, you can do those things and still be what we're going to refer to this morning as a passive observer. You can attend every single week. You can even give a little bit of money. But you can still be passively observing on the outside without intentionally becoming a part of what's going on. So my question for you this morning is this. As you sort of look at yourself introspectively as we continue to unpack this, are you a passive observer or are you an active participant when it comes to the body of Christ, an active participant or a passive observer? Now, before I continue, I do want to acknowledge this reality. Most of us in this room have probably entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ or are still thinking about it as a passive observer. Unless you had some sort of a crazy, miraculous encounter on a road to Damascus like Paul had, you most likely were observing your family as you grew up in maybe a Christian home. Or maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home, but you sort of stepped into it later in life, or even stepped into it now, and you're sort of observing those around you, and you're sort of wondering, is this something that I want to step into? Is this something that I truly believe in? You're still sort of wondering if this is what you are meant to do, even though I can tell you right now you are called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can guarantee that. But maybe you're still wondering about that, or you're still concerned about that, or looking past, you sort of eased into it. There's nothing wrong with being a passive observer for a time. The problem is so much of the church, nationally, globally, gets stuck in this passive observer mentality and state, and they never actually get to experience the fullness that Christ has designed for them to experience. They're missing out because they're just continually observing. And so you can attend every single week and maybe even give a little bit, but still actually fall in the category of passive observer. And so we want to move past that. Because not only will you have a greater impact for the kingdom of God, but you yourselves will benefit from it as well. It's a win-win scenario. So we talk about these gifts that God has given us, right? That God has given everybody in this room some sort of unique gift that he would love for you to use and implement in the body of the church. But the other thing that happens in the lies that you may believe is that you start to believe that you have no significant gift to offer. And you start comparing your gifts. You think, well, I'm not very good at this, or I'm not very good at that. What do I have to offer? I don't have the gift of preaching. I don't have the gift of worship leading. I don't have anything that would allow me to stand on this platform ever. But it's not about that, again. That's what the Corinthian church was doing. They were starting to elevate certain different gifts and minimize all the ones. And the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, that's not what it's all about. We are all to work together. And so he describes this and he points out the fact that the smaller gifts are often just as important, if not more important, than the grandiose gifts that we kind of talk about or we see with our eyes, right? And so I was going to paraphrase that aspect of this passage, but it's just too good not to read. So I'm going to read verses 21 through 24, where Paul addresses this. And he also uses, again, the human body as an analogy for this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. It's almost like he's flipping this whole concept upside down. And so as these Corinthians would have read this, and as you and I read it and hear it today, the proud would have been humbled and the humbled would have been honored. The proud would have been humbled and the humbled would have been honored, because there are significantly important tasks that need to be taken, that need to happen around this church, in our communities, that we maybe don't step into because we think we're not worthy enough, we think it's not good enough, we think it's not important enough. Let me give you a few examples that often maybe fall into this category. Maybe you think this to yourself and you're thinking, okay, what things am I really good at? What do I enjoy doing? And you come up with the fact that you like to landscape, or you like to garden, or you actually get joy out of pulling weeds out of the ground, right? And you think to yourself, well, that gives me satisfaction. I actually enjoy that. That's great, but I can never use that for the glory of God. I can never use that for the church. But I'm telling you right now, you're extremely wrong, because we need people to do that around here as well, right? Simple tasks that seem meaningless and are the furthest from it. Or maybe you like to clean. Maybe you're like Danny Tanner from from Full House. Maybe you're like him. You like a clean house, an organized house, and it brings you joy to get rid of dust in your home and make clutter go away. Well, I'm telling you right now, we would love to have people even do that. We have Sherry over here, is remarkably incredible and does pretty much all of the cleaning around here, right? Yeah, seriously. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't mind help once in a while. I mean, okay. So simple things, right? And you think, well, cleaning, that's stupid. Nobody sees me do that. That's meaningless. But let me tell you something. Let me put this into perspective. Because I'll tell you what. When people walk into this parking lot for the very first time, what do you think happens when they come in and see the grounds just disheveled in a mess and weeds everywhere? Or they walk in and the bathrooms are disgusting. Or they walk in and there's stuff all over the ground. Or it smells disgusting in here. Or they walk in and nobody actually greets them with a smile on their face. These things that we often minimize as not important are actually some of the most important things when it comes to the body of Christ, because if we fail at those things, nobody's ever gonna make it in here with the mentality to actually listen to anything I ever have to say to them, or they may hear in a worship song. These things are incredibly important, but we minimize them and think they're worthless, but that is not true in any way, shape, or form. And so maybe you are passionate about some of those things. Maybe you're passionate about some of the things like preaching and teaching and worship leading, and that's awesome. We want more people to do that as well. But let's not minimize the power of the smaller, seemingly smaller things, when in reality, there's really no weight or bearing on it. All of them working together creates a bigger whole that is beautiful. And so that's what we want to focus on. That's what Paul is telling this early Corinthian church to focus on, not to put sort of boundaries and limitations on gifts or elevate certain ones above other ones. He, at the end of this passage, he does address some of the higher gifts of pastors, apostles, and prophets, and all of these things like that. I'm not going to dive into all of that this morning, but the point is that we all should be connected in some way, shape, or form to the body of Christ. And so I think something else incredible happens. And again, you can use the human body as an analogy for this. But like I said, sometimes when one thing is struggling or in our body, the rest of our body compensates for it. The same is true in this. If there's somebody in this room that's struggling through something, grief or hurt or chaos in their life, or they're celebrating with somebody, the church is designed to come alongside them and grieve with them and support them through that and celebrate with them. You share the sorrow in times of grief, and you share the victories in times of celebration. And why do you do that? Because you are entirely invested into what's going on here. It's not just by simply sending a check, but it's because you are connected to the body of Christ, intentionally inactive. You're an active participant rather than a passive observer. And again, Paul addresses this reality in verses 25 and 26. He says this, so that there should be no division in the body. Because that's what the church was starting to do. The Corinthian church was starting to divide over this stuff. We're intended to unite over this stuff. But that is, the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is the last time I'll use my trip as an illustration, because you're probably sick of hearing it now. But we were out and we were gone for a month, my family and I, and the church came together. They stepped up in areas in which I was no longer here. It was a beautiful example of this. I was prayed for through it. We were supported through it. Ministry continued to go on here. I told everybody this last week. I was so excited about that. It moved forward just seamlessly because people stepped up. So many of you stepped up and were active participants in the church and the body of Christ. That's what we want to see for everybody. My hope and my prayer is that everybody can be a part of that and experience that. And so, maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Legos, what the heck, where did that come in? Maybe you can start piecing things together, no pun intended. But this all kind of is a very similar illustration. So we've talked about being a passive observer or an active participant. I wanna kind of use a couple different terminologies here. When we are sitting in this room, we are either apart from the body, distant from it, or a part of the body. With our gifts that God has given us, we are either using them or not using them independently, and we are apart from the body, or we take those gifts and we introduce them into the whole and we become part of the body. Now, let me use some Legos as an example of this. So you're probably wondering what this thing is behind me. Maybe you're not. I don't know. I've admitted many times now that my family loves Legos, probably to a fault, right? So several years ago, my son saved up a bunch of his allowance money, a bunch of money, birthday money, Christmas money, and then we had some people pitch in. I helped in, and we got this Lego set that we are pretty excited about, and I'm going to use it as a little bit of things here. So here it is. Don't judge me for how... seen this before, maybe you haven't. I don't know. Please don't let me knock it over, because it'll wreck it a whole lot of people's days. Okay? So there we go. So this is the Star Wars Death Star, okay? So it's remarkable, right? Okay, you don't need me to tell you that. Okay, so there's all sorts of different like things on here that you can do, and it's just remarkable, okay? So, but the interesting thing, and let me show you the instruction manual. So this is the instruction manual for this thing, okay? The crazy thing about this, and this is what I'm talking about here, There are so many pieces in this that are seemingly pointless, completely insignificant. Like you see them outside of this and you're like, what is this? I stepped on it and I'm gonna throw it away now because I'm angry because I stepped on it. You know, you step on a Lego, you're not happy. But if you look at some of the very beginning stages and very beginning instructions in this, there's all of these seemingly meaningless things that you have to do. But so many times, and my son and I would be building these things, and we'd be like, why is there this random piece in the middle of nowhere on this? You're never even going to see it. Or this random gap where you think, oh, I would just fill that in if I was building this on my own. But the engineering that goes into this, these things are insane. And so oftentimes, we find these meaningless points or these meaningless pieces, and then 30, 40, 50 pages later, we're like, oh my goodness, that's why that's there. Because if that's not there, this whole thing doesn't work. So this thing actually has like an elevator that goes down inside it. And I mean, everything like moves. There's like that garbage scene is in here, you know. So everybody likes to play with that and crush everybody in the garbage. So, but tiny little pieces, if these tiny little pieces aren't in the exact right place, half the stuff on this thing doesn't even work. And I think we often minimize the importance of our small gifts because we look at it independently. And we don't realize that it's designed to be part of something so much bigger. And when we bring our gifts together, we can create something this magnificent. And yeah, I'm using just a ridiculous Lego illustration, right? But the body of Christ is so much more miraculous and so much more incredible than this. And his desire is that each and every one of us are a part of it, not apart from it. Because if you've got something that God has given you, even if it seems to be meaningless to you, you're missing out on the bigger picture. You're missing out on being a part of something this incredible. And then when something does crack or something does break, the rest of the church is there to hold you up and to support you. And so I realize this is a very elementary illustration, right? This isn't like an earth-shatteringly, theologically blow your minds this morning. But I think sometimes we need some simplicity like this to remind us of the power of how God has designed us to work. And so that's what we're doing this morning. And so we're gonna do a few things this morning as we sort of wrap up. I wanna encourage you to engage and participate and be an active participant even in this little activity we're gonna do this morning. If you didn't grab a piece on the way in, a Lego piece, I would encourage you to go grab one. There's three stations around here. You gotta have a piece, okay? But there's two things I want you to do. The first thing I want you to do is there's those connect cards that I mentioned at the very beginning of service. They're the cards in the seat back in front of you. There's several different opportunities to get involved in there, but there's a box that says other. I would just like you over the course of this next song to do two things. The first is this, to write down in that box what you feel God has gifted you in. And I don't care if it's the most meaningless thing to you, but you know you're good at it. Write it down in that box. Just write it in there. Maybe you're already fully engaged and you are fully an active participant in what goes around here. You are truly a part of the body and you're engaged. Then that's great. This can be to encourage you to continue in doing that. But I would still ask you to write that down. Maybe you already serve on the worship team. Maybe you serve in the back in the sound booth. Maybe you're a greeter. Then write that down. Say, I'm good at smiling. It doesn't matter. I have an ear. I can hear things. Like for people back there, it doesn't matter. Nothing disqualifies you. There's no qualification other than the fact that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And we're all welcomed in, like Paul says in the very beginning of this. So write down in that box one thing you're good at. And I'm not gonna ask, this isn't any moment of some grand commitment. I'm not forcing you to do anything. But write that down and then just pray over that. By all means, you are very welcome to drop that off in the connection or in the offering boxes on the way out after service. And I will connect you. If this message is like, you know what, I've been sitting on the sidelines too long, I do want to get engaged, we'll engage you. And so you can drop those cards off in the giving boxes on the way out after service. But maybe just writing that down is the first step you need to take. And then the second step I want you to take is just something fun. It's no formal commitment, but we're going to put all of our pieces that are apart from one another together to be part of something bigger. Because that's what we've been designed to be. So right now, there's Lego pieces scattered all over the room that seemingly look insignificant and meaningless, but we're gonna put them together and make one thing, one whole, that's unified together by each and every one of us. And so what is that, when we talk about the human body, what is that ligament that's holding you together to the church? What is that ligament, what is that piece that's holding you in, that gift that God has given you, that's allowing the blood flow of the Holy Spirit to work in and through you as you pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. So I've got this thing. You're just gonna come up and we're just gonna make a little mosaic, all right? And we're just gonna set your pieces, just stack them on top of here, and it's gonna look ugly, but it's gonna be a mosaic of a cross, and I think that's kinda cool. So we're gonna play this next song. I'm gonna pray for us. We're gonna sing this song. Write that gift down. You all have a gift. There's no reason anybody shouldn't write down something. And then take your piece to the front and place it on the cross, and we'll continue together. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you are in this place, and it is your desire that we work together as a greater whole. The fact that you want us to experience the power of who you are and your Holy Spirit, and how when we work together, exponential things can actually happen. And so as elementary as this illustration is, Lord, I pray that we leave remembering that we are a part of something bigger, but we have to take those steps of intentionality to enter into that. And maybe that's just the first step, is just simply write down what we know you've gifted us in. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. And we ask that you would continue to bring life into this congregation. Lord, I'm so excited to see where South Creek is going to continue to go. And even on this Labor Day weekend, as people are gathered here together, Lord, it's just incredible to feel your presence here. And I just pray that it continues to move. And as we are a part of your body, Lord, we experience your blessings and your favor as we continue to move forward, Lord. And maybe these people here this morning need to acknowledge, maybe they're a passive observer, and that's okay. Lord, speak to them through the way that only you can do in your spirit, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as we sing this next song, write that word down, write that gift down. I know you have it. And then bring your piece up to the front and place it on the cross.